correct. We're talking about the end times and the Antichrist and all that fun stuff. I would love to stay there because there's some beautiful promises of God in that, right? If you read the end of the book. Sorry, I'm not sure where I am. I hear somebody laughing. Anyways, so Lord, thank you for your word that is living and active. Thank you that you can speak through fallible people. Thank you that you have given the good news to folk like us, that we can pass it along through our experience, through our knowledge of your word. And help us to be like the Bereans, Lord, that even Paul, who taught them, they sought the scriptures out to see if what he was saying was true. So give us a heart for your word. Give us a heart for each other. And help us to learn a little bit more about love. In the end times, the love of most will grow cold due to the increase in wickedness. Is that right? Anybody notice that their heart is getting hard? You won't. You won't. All of a sudden, you're just kind of like, wait a second, that doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me. So, Lord, I pray for, what is that, Psalm 51? David says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, I pray that over all of us today. We want our lives to count for you, Lord, and we know you don't waste anything, Father. We know that in all things, God, you work for the good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. And for this meeting, we're going to detour from that regularly scheduled 2 Thessalonians into love, Valentine's Week, all that. So what is love? What does the Bible say about love? And how do we love? That's what I'm going to endeavor to talk about. What is love? God is love. Yeah, we'll get to that. Absolutely. Forward. Back. Okay. All right. So I remember when I was dating my wife, before we were married, I strive to date her at least once a week now. We've been married 15 years. Yeah, you can clap. That's cool, right? On one of our dates before we were married, so it was before I asked her to marry her. I met her in high school, by the way. I used to drive her to, and a friend of hers. I had the little blue Plymouth Horizon, right? And I picked her and a friend up, and we go to high school together. And so we were friends. But she was, in my mind, seeing somebody else. She tells me now that that wasn't the case. But they were dear friends, and the guy code says you can't mac on somebody else's girl, right? So I didn't. But she tells me, like, 20 years later, it hasn't been 20 years. Yeah, maybe it is, because we remet at 30, graduated at 18. Anyway, 20 years later, she tells me this conversation she had with one of her friends in high school who asked her, hey, do you think you would date Tim? And she goes, no. But I can see myself marrying him one day. How? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So anyways, on one of our dates before I asked her to marry me and finally made the commitment, I was second-guessing that commitment. I was getting a little squirrely again. I was wondering if this lady was the one. And so I had to plead my case. You know, I get analysis paralysis, so I was just sharing with her my analysis of the situation. And I said, you know, babe, or Sherry, I don't know if I call her babe at that time, I always do now. there are many different kinds of love, okay? So I'm going to let you down easy. The context of this conversation was one of my ridiculous explanations as to why I was thinking of backing out of the relationship again. And Sherry doesn't even remember what I was talking about this time because she was just mad. She's like, dude, either do something or leave. Like, I'm not going through this again. You're not ripping my heart out again. She tuned me out. Anyways, even though she wasn't listening, I was actually correct. There are many kinds of love. Well, in Greek, there are four, and there are arguments to be made for more than that. But agape, phileo, eros, and storge. So we're going to learn a little bit about this. Agape, that, oh yeah. Okay. Agape, that unconditional love, right? King James translates it as charity. This is the love of God for his children, like in John 3:16. Can anyone quote or recite John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have. All right. Amen. So Thomas Aquinas, if you're familiar with this cat, he further explains agape as to will the good of one of another. To will the good of another. We need agape, right? We need agape for many reasons. On the human concept, we need it so that some of the things that God requires, because some of the things that God requires of us are not easy or fun. Like, for instance, some of you ladies are married to men. You need agape, right? That unconditional love. You need to choose to love that guy in order to do what God is asking you to do. And men, some of you are married to women. You need agape in order to do what God is asking you to do. Serve her, protect her, whatever he's calling you to do. Phileo. Is this going to do this to me? Yes. Affectionate regard, friendship, brotherly love, right? We need phileo because we need true friends to stand with us, someone we can be transparent with. Someone other than the voice in my head that drives me nuts. Over the years, my wife and I share a phileo love. She is one of my dearest friends today. That didn't come easy. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of practice because there's this natural drift in marriage towards isolation. Some of you may know this. Some of you have experienced it to detrimental results. We'll talk about water under the bridge in a minute. But eros, romantic love. Mostly of the sexual passion, that feeling of being in love, right? I believe it's often mistaken as agape, this eros, in the beginning stages of a relationship. I can't do anything without this person. I can't live without this person. It's like, he can't do anything wrong. She can't do anything wrong, right? We mistake that eros for agape initially. It quickly evaporates, right? Although eros, this love, is important for starting a family. What? And the formation of deep, long-lasting bonds between a husband and a wife in marriage. Capisce? Right? And storge, love of family, parent to a child, siblings, cousins. It could also be used when referencing your country, one's country and your... Also your sports team. Or is that agape? Especially with the Red Sox. You know, whatever. I forget about this. I'm sorry. Okay. This is the fun part for a minute. The whole thing should be fun. So look it up. You'll find slight differences in the meanings of those four words, those four Greek words. You also find some variants and subcategories. You get the gist, right? One of the variants that I found was this word philotia, philosha. That is like self-love, okay? Synonymous with egotism. Hold on a second. What's going on Facebook? I don't have an account, actually, but... So... This is perfect, this descriptor, philosha, is perfect for the selfie-minded, right? Synonymous with egotism. Does that hit kind of hard? Oof, hold on, let me post this. I have long arms, right? They're perfect for selfies. And there's actually quite a few of you in this room who got our Christmas card, my wife and I, and... it's really good to see a lot of you. I have been next door for the last maybe 3 years, but I shared, and I already mentioned this once before I started playing, but I've shared life with a lot of you in this room, and I miss that, you know? And I'm so glad to see you. I'm so honored to be up on this stage and seeing new faces as well. You know, God is always doing something new, but it's just this place for the last 15 years. I've stood on the stage many times playing music, whatever. I mean, God has done amazing things here, and he will continue to do that. Doesn't matter who was here, who's coming. This is still God's church, right? Okay. Anyways, I got the clicker. Forgive me. I'm not. I don't want this to be a comedy show. This is no laughing matter. It's also no matter that we laugh. There's another selfie. There's some dear friends of ours, Eric and Donna Dixon. I don't know if any of you have met them, but they are like our spiritual parents. They taught us the ways of marriage over the years. We started our marriage Bible study in their living room. We invited ourselves for a year. We stayed seven. And now we go to visit them in Florida. This picture is in the coast of Maine somewhere on our way back from, back from Portland, Maine. We're going back to Portland, Maine this spring for another weekend to remember. Shameless plug. It's a marriage event, okay? This is on our way back from the event last year. You may have seen our face, Sherry and I, in the fall for the weekend to remember in Hartford. We promote that. We work that conference. We're kind of like the Spurgeon's boiler room. We pray for everybody who shows up at that event for the whole weekend. We're in prayer and in communication with people and with the Lord that whole weekend. It's pretty amazing. And then we go and attend one every year as well to like get that oil change for our marriage, to remind ourselves of what God's blueprint for marriage really is. Some of us need an engine overhaul, but just saying. Is there a caption for that one? I don't remember. So each of these selfies, right, they display all four or five or however many, the four words for love. There is that unconditional love. There is the storge love, phileo love. I wanted to go backwards there. Anyway, love. I'm sorry, I will get on track here. I'll stick to the script. Okay, so love, God's love for his children is what kind of love again? Agape, right? Okay. Love unconditional, amen? And who are his children? We are? Is it everybody? Is it you? Is it me? Is it? How do you become a child of God? Scripture has the insight. My pastor says that the Bible has every answer to life. And so far, I find that out to be true. So turn to John 1:12. We're going to be, from here, we're going to be in the Word quite a bit. For the next, well, we'll see. Hold on a second. John 1:12. Someone read that, please.
But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Who's John talking about? He's talking about Jesus, right? The Son of God. Who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How do we receive him? How do we become children of God? How do we experience that kind of love? That's actually not the verse I'm looking for. But go back to Romans 10:9, actually. Flip there so you can see it. Romans 10:9. Romans 10, verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's read it out loud together. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Has everyone in the room done this? Raise your hand if you have not. Huh? Honestly, this is an invitation. Right now, are you right with God? Do you know Jesus? Do you have Christ in your heart? We're going to explore this a little bit more, but so you can make an informed decision. But if you don't know Christ, study it, learn about it. Find out who he is and why he came and who he is now. Experience that power. Huh? What else does the Bible say about love? All right, who's got an app? Someone type the word love in the app, in the search thing, and tell me how many verses come up with the word love in it in Scripture. No one? Anyone? How many? Okay, so I have 686. So is it like 100 and some odd of us in here? Each of us will read six, okay? I got lunch coming about an hour and a half from now. So actually, we're gonna go through a few, okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. Then we get to Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I still hated him, he died for me. While you were still doing what you know you shouldn't be doing, he died for you. John 13:34. A new command I give to you, right? Write these verses down as I go. The slides kind of messed me up. I apologize. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, this is Jesus talking, so you must love one another. What's that word for love? Agape, right? And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a helper, paraclete, right? There's another spot where this word is used in Scripture, Genesis 2:18, right? I don't know how Joe does this so well. Got that?
Oh, I'm going backwards.
Forgive me. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Isn't that true? I will make a helper, a paraclete, suitable for him. Interesting. Back to John 14:15-17, he will give you another advocate, another helper, a paraclete, to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Let's unpack that for just a second. Spirit of truth, right? Also known as the Spirit of Christ, read Romans 8, and it'll share that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of truth are synonymous. One of the triune God, the Father, Son, Spirit. According to Paul in Galatians, without the Spirit, we would not be able to have patience or joy, goodness, kindness, not in any lasting measure, or love. That unconditional agape love. Here's one I'd like to understand better. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That sacrifice, that servanthood, without expectation of reciprocation. So how do you love your wife? Yeah, Greg, through God's love. Do you know that we speak different love languages? I speak Greek. My wife speaks Mandarin. And so I share my love to her in Greek. And she kind of, dude, I speak Mandarin. I need to learn her love language, right? There are five of them. There's five love languages. Gary Chapman wrote a book about it. And it's a good something to read through and then carry on with. But acts of service, quality time, my wife's is quality time. And until I figured that out, that's one of the things that she would complain to me about, that I'm not spending enough time with her. That was a clue that her love language is quality time. That is not my language. Mine is words of affirmation and surprise, physical touch, right? So I was sharing my love to Sherry using those two languages that I speak. And she's like, yeah, that's nice, Tim, but I don't, that's Greek to me. I speak Mandarin, learn Mandarin. So I've learned to spend quality time with Sherry. And it is kind of a sacrifice to me because I'm a little ADD. I'm on to the next all the time. Like I need to do something. I need to, it's like spending quality time. So how are you? You know, this, to me, it doesn't make sense. But to Sherry, it's perfect sense. It's how she operates. That's her language. So I had to learn that language. And I promise you, if you learn your spouse's love language, your marriage will change. Guaranteed. For the better. It's going to be hard. And you're going to get beat up probably. But it's worth it. Am I right? That's right. That's correct. It will transform your marriage. All right, so that same word, paraclete, by the way, is used of my wife. My wife was fashioned by and presented to me from the Lord God himself. And I received that. It's a choice. So last night, was it 1 a.m? This morning. I was still putting this together. I apologize. So I am an epic procrastinator. I am as prepared as I could have been doing this, but I should have been more prepared than I am. You catch that? But this would be crazy out of sorts, more so than it already is, if it weren't for my wife last night. Tim, reel it in here. Let's put an outline here together, you know. And she was able to take all this stuff and help me organize it into a fairly coherent, it's a lot more coherent the way she did it, a fairly coherent presentation of the Word of God based on what I've learned. Be a Berean, search it out for yourselves, see if what I say is true, and if it isn't, please let me know. So. Sherry is my paraclete. She is my helper. We are co-heirs with Christ to that gift of life, right? I'm not over her. I'm not under her. I received her at my side. I have more responsibility to the Father than she does just because of the way God set it up. But that's another. Thank you. All right, so Galatians 5:13. We're going to read quite a few, because we were just talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So turn to Galatians 5, verses 13 through 25. Galatians 5, verses 13 and 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, you'll be destroyed by each other. Is that happening out there? So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful natural desires is what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have this fruit, at least in a lasting way. I can try, I can practice patience, I can practice this, I can practice that, I can have some kind of counterfeit of joy, which is like mild happiness in my situation maybe, or because I've made myself happy because I'm medicated with something that was trying to fill a hole that was meant for Christ. The first one listed is love, right? Agape. And I've heard it said that the next eight are descriptors of that, of love. And according to 1 John 4:8, right? God is love. He said that at the beginning. Then these fruits are attributes of God as well, correct? God is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's pretty cool stuff. It's kind of cooking my noodle. I don't know how it's doing to you guys. Anybody listen to Ravi Zacharias? Okay. Anybody familiar with Lee Strobel? C.S. Lewis? Right? Ravi, in particular, he's like a Berean, right? And he encourages us to be Bereans. Let the thinker believe and the believer think, you know. Yeah, I can come to Christ in an emotional high and be like, oh, yes, love Jesus. And then that kind of withers if I don't back it up with some food, man. You know, get in the Word, back up that knowledge of the Christ that you came to in the first. And some of us may have as much knowledge as we can ever glean from the Scriptures but not really know Christ. There's got to be a connection somewhere, and the Holy Spirit will draw you to that. So Ravi and others encourage us to be Bereans. Seek out the Scriptures to see what's going on. Search it and see if what's being said is true. You can check out the context in the book of Acts, the Bereans. It's somewhere in Paul's second missionary journey, right? So what I'm saying is get in the Word, check it out, make an informed decision, and hide that Word in your heart, right? So it can be recalled by the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Study the real thing so you can spot the counterfeit when it comes, because it's coming, and it's out there already. It's presented every day. So how do we love? This is the third piece. I don't know what's going on, but it's all right. Is this making sense to any of you? This is good stuff, right? It's a lot, but it's simple. The love I can have towards the Savior was first given to me by the Savior. That unconditional love. Our favorite holiday is coming up. Our favorite love holiday, that is. Valentine's Day, that could be, I don't know if it is or not. And that could be an almond tree, like based on the legend. I'll get to the legend. It could be this guy. That's a little more apropos to what the legend talks about, at least the one that I found, because I think there's two or three of these guys. I think his head still resides somewhere. I don't know. But according to legend, back in the 200s A.D., around the time of Roman Emperor Claudius II, St. Valentine was performing clandestine Christian marriages for Roman soldiers who were forbidden to marry by Claudius. He also gave succor to persecuted Christians and is said to have cut hearts from parchment, giving them to these soldiers and to persecuted Christians, possibly the origin of the widespread use of hearts on St. Valentine's Day. St. Valentine was persecuted as a Christian and interrogated by the Roman Emperor Claudius II himself in person because he was impressed by Valentine and this emperor has a discussion with him. His motive is to get him to convert to Roman paganism, but in the true spirit of the Apostle Paul, Valentine refused and tried to convert Claudius to Christianity instead, and because of this, he was executed, right? But before his execution, according to legend, he is, in the 400s, most of these things were burned, like the records, you can't find them anymore, but according to legend, before his execution, he is reported to have performed a miracle by healing Julia, the blind daughter of his jailer, Asterius, and the jailer's daughter and 46 members of the household came to believe in Christ and were baptized. On the evening before Valentine was to be executed, he is supposed to have, I got it. Written the first Valentine card himself and addressed it to the daughter of his jailer, Asterius, Julia, who is no longer blind, signing it as "Your Valentine." Anybody not get one of those in middle school and still like, oh. To the love of romantics everywhere, this legend, right? This legend has been published by American Greetings, picked up by Hallmark, the channel. And the History Channel, right? So anyone else notice that the Hallmark Channel has movies for every holiday and season now? Isn't it great? So Valentine's Day is going strong right now, right? It's a good date night idea for you couples. Football's over, right? So you can use your tissues for something else. So you can plan a night. Or three, or seven in a row, because I do have the content, right? And what, babe? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. Put these things away. Fast. Don't post. Don't look. Don't matter what your game people are saying. Hey, did you kill that thing yet? No, I got to attack it now. Blah, blah, blah. Put it away. Spend a couple hours of focused time together with your spouse with something that she wants to do or whatever. It's an idea. But the point is, put it away. I get in so much trouble with my wife because I heard her say it. And I'm pretty sure I responded. But come to find out, I never really responded, and I have no idea what she said. Yeah, of course, yeah. Wait, what? I'm not repeating it. Come on! Put it away. This is a great tool, but it is also a great distraction that destroys relationships. Did I get on that? I'm sorry. Remember 20 years ago you had that bumper sticker that said, "Kill your television"? Anybody have one of those? Seriously, man. Babe, I repent. I'm sorry. Honestly, it's not cool. No. I'm just saying I repent, Pat.
Repent is to turn 180 degrees.
Yes, and I don't want to turn into a pillar of salt either, so I can't turn back and look. No, you're absolutely right. You know? No, but he speaks for her sometimes. He's a dear friend of mine for many years. Yeah. So, yeah. Put the phones down. Get together with your wife. Watch a Hallmark movie or something. Hand her a tissue. Allow her to give you one because you're going to need it. There's three plots for these Hallmark movies. I know, maybe they might have come out with four now. And a lot of the same actors play the same things. But they are good, pretty much wholesome movies. Anyway, my wife and I go on a date every week. And sometimes it's popcorn and ice cream on the couch. I'll make nachos, she makes popcorn. We sit together on the couch and we keep the dog away from the popcorn, and the popcorn is simply there to hold the butter, right? And we spend concerted time together, Sometimes we go out. Sometimes we go for a walk. Sometimes, you know, hey, babe, do you want to do the mystic stroll? We try to do 12 dates of Christmas. You know, making time for each other. I love marriage. It is a ministry that God has given to both my wife and I because we both have a heart for it. I can come up here and play guitar. I can talk one-to-one with any of you guys. You know, I can share life with any of you. But my wife and I share this together, marriage, a picture of Christ in the church. And so we adore it. We love it. We do it, guys. Get to know your wife. Get to know your husband. It ain't going to be easy because it is a picture of Christ in the church. Satan hates it. And yeah, he's going to attack you with different things. I won't give him much credit. But I do ask you to be wary because his favorite tool is discouragement, right? He's going to get in your head and say, well, she's probably going to say that if I try that again. Oh, I tried to speak that language last week, and she responded with, bleh, 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 you know, so I don't really want to do that anymore. Well, I tried to get into, you know, and he responded, well, it's about time. You know, why do I want to repeat that again? Discouragement is the most off tool of Satan. He doesn't really have to do anything to try to attack you. He's just like, mm-mm. So the armor of God, there's so much that I can go off on, but get to know your spouse. And if there are failures in the past, let's keep them there, man. That's water under the bridge. Jesus died for that. And where you are now is where he wants you, right now. Because water under the bridge is water under the bridge. You can't get it back. That's yesterday. You can't get it back. From here forward, I walk with Christ. From right now forward, I walk with the Lord and I ask for his direction. I can't repair per se, what happened. You know, if you're divorced and you're remarried 2, 3, 4 times, doesn't matter. Here forward, the Lord's going to bless you. Amen. Follow him. Grab his hand and walk with him. Jesus said the work of the Father is this: believe on him who he has sent. And then another spot in Galatians where he talks about, is it Galatians? The works that God prepared for beforehand, we walk in them. We don't strive for them. We walk in them. That road's already been paved. My friend Doug always prays, Lord, go before us. So that road is already there. The way is straight. Right? It may be difficult to find, and it may be hard, and there are few who find it. That's a tough truth, right? And the way is broad, and the road is wide for those on their way to destruction. That's a tough truth, right? But God has given each and every one of us at least one person to love. At least. So I have my wife, I have other people, but right now there's a person on my heart that is my brother, man. It's like, Lord, save this guy. Can you please save this guy? I can pray for him. I can love him. I get too close, sometimes I get punched and it hurts. But I can be present. Here I am, Lord, send me. And if it takes the rest of my life to minister to my brother, that's it. Some of you have a Billy Graham. Some of you have, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You have one person that God has called you to love unconditionally over and above your spouse if you have one. At least one person. And the sole purpose of that love for that person is to win him to Christ. Whether you do it personally or you just continually water the field or sow the seed or lift him up in prayer, intercessory prayer. God, bless that man. Bless that man. And keep walking. Keep walking with the Savior. Walking with the King, as my dear friend Ernie will tell you. Walk with the King, baby. Walk with the King. I don't know how late we go. I was 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is the love chapter. And most of us heard that from the officiator at our wedding or others' weddings when we've been there. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not seek its own. Is not puffed up. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Right? think I'm going to. Love never fails, right? Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. And when I was a child, I talked like a child. When I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Agape. Through Christ. Revealed to us through the Spirit of Christ. Kind of cooks your noodle, doesn't it? But it's really simple if you don't think about it, at least initially. And then educate yourself. I'm going to go round and round. So I'm going to end with another song. this is Psalm 23. Yeah. Jesus is the ultimate Valentine. Is the Holy Spirit moving in anybody today where they're just like, man, I need Jesus? Bring it. Let us pray for you. Let us rejoice over you. If you don't know Christ and you need to come to Christ, bring it. If you're watching online, bring it. Lord Jesus, I need you. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. That same power that raised him from the dead lives in all of you if you know Jesus. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.